Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
When you take a moment to think in your mind's eye, what does Jesus look like? What image of Jesus do you have? If you just kind of, I say, think about Jesus, think about what you see when I say to you, imagine yourself standing before Jesus. What do you see? And I suppose if you're a big Talladega Nights fan or Ricky Bobby, you've imagined the baby Jesus, okay? Or maybe during the Advent season, you see the baby Jesus. Or maybe you see our Lord on the cross, a crucifix. I'm standing right here in front of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we have our Lord pointing to his chest. I put another picture of our Lord here in front of the church just to give you another kind of visual of what maybe you could have seen as you thought about the image of Jesus comes to you, the divine mercy. After I gave this homily earlier, somebody said to me their image of Jesus is him writing in the sand, forgiving the adulterous woman. What is your image of Jesus? Tonight we read in the gospel from chapter 17 of Matthew. Now, Matthew's gospel is 28 chapters, so we're a little more than halfway through the gospel at chapter 17. And there's a change that's taking place in Jesus' ministry and his mission as we hit chapter 17. Something new is being introduced. Now, the gospel today, there's a mountaintop experience. And there are many characters in this mountaintop experience. We have Jesus. We have Peter, James, and John. Then we have Moses and Elijah. We have the cloud, and you have to trust me when I tell you the cloud is the Holy Spirit. And then we have the voice from the cloud. And the voice from the cloud is the Father speaking of the Son. This is my beloved, listen to him. Interesting characters there, all of them, and especially Moses and Elijah, who are dead, by the way. And there they appear, alive, conversing with Jesus. Now, reading the gospel today, it's a little bit like arriving at a movie late, seeing one scene, and leaving early, okay? It's like every time we come to Mass, we just get a little slice of the whole story, right? And I suppose on some level you're expecting me to explain how the whole thing fits together, and that I'll try to do that, but still, we've arrived, we get a little bit of the story, and we leave, and it's like, well, what's going on? Now, Matthew chapter 17. Now, Matthew chapter 17 is what we read today. Not the whole thing, but a good part of it. But the editors of the lectionary is the book that the readings for Mass are taken from. The editors of the lectionary left three words out. They left the first three words of chapter 17 out. And what are the first three words of chapter 17? After 6 days. That's the first three words. So we're missing after 6 days. It really reads, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the high mountain. And they edited the lectionary and took those three words out so that you wouldn't be thinking 3 days after what, right? Or after 6 days after what? But I want you to think 6 days after what? Because I want to tie this to what happened before. I want you to see the scene before in this movie, if you will, of Jesus' life that is unfolding. So 6 days after what? Well, of course, 6 days after what happened in chapter 16. You say, well, what happened in chapter 16? In chapter 16, Jesus asks this question of the apostles, who do people say that I am? And they give their responses. I think you're familiar. One of the apostles, Elijah, this, that, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks them very specifically, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and gets the right answer. And he says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And then he says, on you, on your profession, on your faith, on the gift that God has given to you, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then immediately after he says that to Peter, he begins to prophesy about his future. And he prophesies that he's going to go to Jerusalem, and that he's going to be rejected, and that he's going to be beaten, and he's going to be scourged, and he's going to be killed. And Peter has just been put in charge of his church, right? And what does Peter do? He steps up and says, no way, Jesus, I'm not going to let it happen. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get what? Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking as men think, not as God thinks. And Jesus has this plan, and he tells them all. He tells his disciples, tells you and me, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And the Son of Man will come with his angels, now listen to these words, in his Father's glory. The Son of Man will come in his Father's glory, this glorified Jesus, and he will repay, I'm quoting the gospel, he will repay everyone according to his conduct. Then, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face became like the sun. And we see what? The glory of the Father that he had just prophesied after he prophesied the fact that he was going to be killed. And so we have this kind of, okay, Jesus, what image are you giving us? Are you giving us an image of you being beaten and rejected and scourged and killed? Or are you giving us the image of the glorified God? And so which is it? It's both, of course. And so we have to be able to hold in our mind at the same time the resurrected Lord and the crucified Lord. We have to be able to see Jesus in our lowest place. In our lives, when we journey into the deepest valley of our lives, in the darkest place where there is the least light and the most suffering, we have to know that Jesus is there with us in that place. And when we turn and we climb the mountain and we see the sun and we smell the flowers and we experience the presence of God and the nearness of love in our hearts, we have to know Jesus is there with us too. And we have to embrace these different faces, if you will, these different elements or different ways that God shows himself to us and teaches us about our journey. Now, what's going to happen next? Jesus has prophesied his suffering and death. He's prophesied the glory of the Father that he will come in. He's called them up the mountain. He showed them his glory. And now they're going to go down the mountain, right? And what happens in the next scene in the movie? In the next scene in the movie? Well, I'll move you ahead a little ways. And we're going to come to another mountain later in the book. And we're going to have the same cast of characters without Moses and Elijah. We're going to have Jesus. We're going to have Peter, James, and John. And they're going to be on a mountain together. This is the Mount of Olives, right outside of Jerusalem. And what is Jesus' face this time? Does it shine like the sun? It sweats blood. It's the sweating of blood. And so we have these two scenes. They mirror each other. And in our own mind's eye, we have this reality of our encounter with Christ, and we have to hold the cross and the glory together. When we see the divinity of Christ and we see the cross together in Jesus correctly, Then we're on the mountain, and then we're in a lower place, and he is with us when we go to those places as well. Now let's continue our little journey up the mountain when Jesus is transfigured and they see his glory. Then what happens in the story? Jesus hears the voice, and Peter, James, and John hear the voice, and it says what? This is my beloved son, what? Listen to him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. I'm going to tell you about a path to transformation in your life. I'm going to tell you tonight, in a very few words, a simple path to transformation in your life. It might sound even too simple for some of you. And some of you might be out there thinking, I don't need to be transformed. Just give me a little tweak here and there, okay? Nothing radical, don't scare me, okay? But no, it's got to be transformation or it's nothing. I'm going to tell you about a path to change the quality of every Mass that you will ever attend for the rest of your life. And you say, well, Father Mike, to change the quality of every Mass, I would have to make your homily better. I say, well, I'll work on that for you, okay? Say, you have to make this pew more comfortable, okay? You have to make the sound system better. You have to make the music better. Well, not at this Mass, okay, because we have great music. How am I going to make every Mass that you will ever attend better? Well, all of those things are outside of your control anyway, right? So we don't need to focus on them. We need to focus on what you can control to make every Mass that you will ever attend better. Ever. And a lot better, not a little better. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. You listening. Listening is not easy. Listening takes work. Listening takes focus. Listening takes discipline. And when we come to Mass, we have to listen. We have to listen to the gospel proclaimed. We have to listen to the readings read. We have to listen to the prayers prayed. To listen means more than to hear. To hear is one thing. To listen is to hear and to obey. To listen and be transformed by listening. Are you listening? Can you listen to the gospel? You know, when it's just one little scene out of the movie, it's a lot more difficult. When we have one image of Jesus in our mind, it can get in our way. As we went through the gospel a few minutes ago, Jesus was transfigured. The voice spoke from the heavens, from the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And then Jesus said something to his apostles. And when he says something to his apostles, he's saying it to us. What did Jesus say to his apostles after all of that transfiguration? He's back to normal. Let's go down the hill. Then Jesus said something to the apostles. He said, they were very much afraid. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. How many bad decisions are made out of fear? How many bad relationships are gotten into out of fear? Or stayed in out of fear? How many poor decisions are made about your job and your career and your future? Not out of faith in God, but out of fear. Oh, how our lives would be transformed if we would hear Jesus say to us, and we would listen to his voice as he speaks to us, do not be afraid. It is a transforming power. We got to listen, though. And we got to be good at listening. And the way we get good at listening is to know the whole story. I'm going to ask you, talking about listening to God, talking about watching silly movies, talking about having the whole scene before us. I'm going to challenge you. And some of you who don't want to be transformed or don't think you need to be transformed won't even hear what I'm going to say. You're not listening. But some of you are going to listen. And some of you are going to actually do it. I want you to read the entire Gospel of Matthew in one sitting. It'll take you about 2 hours. Anybody here ever spent 2 hours watching a silly movie? Or maybe the same movie twice? Take about 2 hours. It'll change your life. You get the whole scene. You'll see it all unfold. It'll make more sense to you when you hear it read. The Gospel of Matthew essentially contains the Gospel of Mark and most of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of John's a little different, but in the Gospel of Matthew, the whole story is there. And how good it would be for you to know the whole movie, and you'd kind of be able to make more sense of it as it's unfolding, and better able to listen to the voice of God. Now, I want you to have a wonderful, powerful, transforming experience every time you hear the gospel proclaimed. I want the image of Jesus in your heart to change in the circumstances of your life, but for all of those images to be readily available to you, from him being a little baby, a helpless baby, to him being glorified in heaven, to him being in the dungeon suffering. I want you to read the whole thing in one sitting and listen to him and be able to listen to him more effectively and more transformatively each and every Sunday.